Welcome to our last session on the book of Zechariah. And as we have promised, this book is highly significant for us in the days in which we live. Why? Well, he is a prophet, and he prophesied at the time of the restoration of the Jews to the rebuilding the temple at Jerusalem, and he gave many significant promises to the church in the last days, and also he prophesied concerning the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ upon a donkey and Palm Sunday, which was fulfilled, and he spoke of the crucifixion of the Lord, speaking of the nail prints in his hand. Now then, we are going to look basically at the last three chapters in the book of Zechariah. I have said all along through this time that we have been studying Zechariah that Zechariah has the most significant words concerning Jerusalem in our days. You know, when he was prophesying, the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. The gates were lying down there, smashed to smithereens. The temple had its foundation, but it was not rebuilt. But through the prophesying of Zechariah and Haggai, they rebuilt the temple, and later on in the days of Nehemiah, Jerusalem was rebuilt. But not only did Zechariah promise the rebuilding of Jerusalem in those days and also the finishing of the temple, but his prophecies were far deeper and far more significant, and they apply to the days in which we are living. Now then, I want to look at three chapters. Chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And he speaks now of the last days, and he's speaking of Jerusalem. And he says in verse 3, you know, of chapter 12, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. And then he speaks of the fact, and this is confirmed by the prophet Joel chapter 3, that God in these last days will bring all nations down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Valley of Jehoshaphat. See this in Joel chapter 3 verse 1, and also here in Zechariah, that there will be a final siege of Jerusalem. And we are seeing today, you know, the enemy is all around Jerusalem. They have occupied land that is essentially the kingdom of David. And they are occupying it, and they are extremely anti-Israel. Extremely anti-Israel. Well, this is of God. Because, you see, in the Word of God, the Lord has brought nations against Jerusalem. There have been some very significant sieges of Jerusalem. And I'm going to mention two to start with. One in the time of King Hezekiah. The Assyrian army was encamped. We're even told about how many, 185,000 men, soldiers that is, camped around Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was very small in the days of Hezekiah. And essentially, you know, the general of the king of Assyria, who happened to be Sennacherib at that time, but this general said, you know, why don't you come out, surrender, and I'll give you 2,000 horses if you've got those number of men to be able to ride them. In other words, the army of Hezekiah was very small. The army of the Assyrians was very great. And there was a prophet by the name of Isaiah. And he prophesied, you know, you shall not fight. You shall not fight, but by my spirit, I will overcome the Assyrians. And my angel should go out and fight for you. Well, Hezekiah believed the words of Isaiah the prophet. And he encouraged his people, stand firm, stand fast. God is going to fight for us. And what happened? In one night, the angel of the Lord came out. And as the Assyrian army was sleeping in their tents all around Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord came out and slew that army. When they woke up, they found they were dead. They were dead men. That's what the word of God says. And Hezekiah triumphed gloriously. So there was a siege. Well, there was another significant siege of Jerusalem. And that was in the days of Jehoiakim. And ended with his brother Zedekiah. And this time God said, I'm not going to defend Jerusalem because of your iniquity. Before there was a righteous king, Hezekiah, a righteous prophet, Isaiah. And because of these two, God had defended. But this time he said, no. He said, you're not listening to the prophet Jeremiah. You're not walking uprightly. You've got idolatry, you've got fornication and all wickedness in Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to destroy it. So he did destroy it. He destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed his temple. And then he said there will be 70 years captivity. And there were 70 years reckoned from the first captivity of Jehoiakim until the decree of Cyrus in 536. Well, what happened? Then God said, you know, there should be a restoration. And there was a restoration. Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest returned, and although there was opposition, they eventually built that temple. And later on, with Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem were built up again. And Zechariah prophesies. He said to Zechariah, the angel of the Lord said to Zechariah, you know, yet will Jerusalem be inhabited by boys and girls playing in the streets, cattle in abundance, and the aged, you know, leaning upon their staff. Aged men and women leaning upon their staff. He said, Jerusalem shall yet be inhabited again. But then, as you look very carefully at those prophecies, he's prophesying for a time yet to come. The millennial reign of Christ upon earth. Now, before that millennial reign of Christ upon earth, something else is going to happen in the Middle East. What is it? Well, here it is. In chapter 12, 13, and 14, the prophet Zechariah and also the prophet Joel in chapter 3, verse 1, speak of the fact that God will bring indeed all nations against Jerusalem. And they will come into the valley of Jehoshaphat. What does that mean? Well, if you could follow my hands, if we could say Jerusalem is built up on a Mount Moriah, there it is. And then we have the valley of Jehoshaphat. Then coming up the other side, we have the Mount of Olives. Both very significant for the last days. Now then, God is going to bring the armies. They're going to cover the Mount of Olives. with troops. They're going to surround Jerusalem, and the book of Zechariah tells us that they will break in to the city of Jerusalem. They will break into the city of Jerusalem. Part of the city of Jerusalem will be overcome by the enemy armies. The Arab armies will break in to the city of Jerusalem. They will overcome the defenders. They will overcome them. And they will take many captive and send them all over the place. But, you know, Jerusalem is also composed of another city, a city of Zion, David's city. That will hold out. That will hold out. And there will be the defenders of Zion. But they will be encouraged, you see, by having their eyes opened to the prophetic word that God in the last days, in his second coming, will indeed defend Jerusalem. It will be broken into, part will be broken into, but the defenders of Zion will be there. And they indeed will wait for him. They will fight believing that their Messiah will come. And we are told in the books of Isaiah and the book of Deuteronomy what actually happens, and also Zechariah helps us in this matter. He says that the Lord shall descend and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. You know, that is confirmed in the New Testament, because in the Acts chapter 1, you know, the Lord has been with some of his disciples after he has been resurrected, and he leads them out. He leads them out to the Mount of Olives. And there at the top of the Mount of Olives, here are his disciples, and here is the Lord standing in their midst. And then a cloud comes, and the Lord ascends in the cloud. And there they are looking up, and they're seeing their Savior, their Lord, their God, their King of Kings, arising and going up. And the angel said, "Why are you looking up?" He said, "In like manner, as you've seen him leave, he shall come again." And so the New Testament confirms what the prophet Zechariah says, that when he returns, he shall also, his feet also shall come on the Mount of Olives. And what happens, the book of Zechariah tells us, the Mount of Olives will divide. But also, we have an insight from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the book of Deuteronomy was written before the children of Israel even entered into the land of promise. And it was the last sermons, the book of Deuteronomy is the last sermons of that great man of God, Moses. And he prophetically declares what the Lord shall say when he comes again and his feet land on the Mount of Olives. Oh, how wonderful the word of God is. What does he say? He has a sword in his hand as he descends on the Mount of Olives. Has a sword in his hand. He said, "I live, I live, I live, I live, I live." In other words, he's saying, "I'm alive, I'm alive." And his feet descend on the Mount of Olives. The defenders of Zion see him. And they cry out. And Isaiah tells us what they cry out. "We have waited for you. We have waited for you." They waited in hope. And their hope shall not be ashamed, because the Lord himself, his feet shall stand in that day, declares Zechariah, on the Mount of Olives. Ah, but then what happens? You see, the Lord then comes to defend the remainder of Jerusalem that has not fallen and the city of David, Mount Zion. He comes to defend it. The governors, the defenders of Jerusalem, now are emboldened. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And now they are ready. They are going to be triumphant. But before that actually happens, they look at his hands. And he said, well, what are those nails prints in your hands? What is those piercing in your hands? And he said, well, he said, those were they that I was pierced in the house of my friends. And then they will look upon him. They will look upon him. And they will weep profusely because they realized that they or their ancestors had crucified the Lord of glory. And they'll weep, they'll weep, they'll weep, they'll weep. And then a fountain will be opened in Jerusalem for the cleansing of Israel, the cleansing of the defenders. And then they'll be cleansed. The iniquity, we're told in Zechariah, will be taken away in one day. Their iniquity will be removed. And then they will be all cleansed. Oh, all cleansed. The mighty Lord in their midst. The enemies are around. What happens? We're told in Zechariah that it's as though, you know, the Spirit of God comes upon those defenders, all cleansed, all purified. The Lord in their midst, they go out and they slay those who are surrounding their beloved city. They slay them with great slaughter. The book of Revelation picks up the story and says, oh, and I'm going to speak in modern parlance here because it's in furlongs there, but modern parlance, about 200 miles. 200 miles, which is about the length of Israel, the length of the mountains. And the blood will come up to the horses' bridles. So great will be the slaughter of the enemies of all the armies that have come against Jerusalem. God will defend his beloved city. And that city is going to be filled then with righteousness. And Zechariah speaks of another temple. Another temple that should be built. And he says the branch, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he himself shall indeed build that temple, and all nations shall come with their wealth and build again a glorious temple, a temple that Ezekiel the prophet had a vision of. Oh yes, what God did in the past is going to be repeated in the future. And therefore we have to have hope as we see the situation in the Middle East. As we see the armies around Jerusalem, even at the moment, you know, yes, 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 yes. But before this all happens, of course, the Antichrist will come proclaiming he is God. He will sit in a temple that will yet be rebuilt in Jerusalem, but he will come with signs and lying wonders. The false prophet will arise again, and he will indeed do many signs. But in that temple they will build an image to the Antichrist that all will have to worship on the pain of death or have the mark of the beast in their hand. All this has to take place first. But Zechariah, you see, leaps over that period And he comes to the time just immediately before the second coming, where he said all nations will come against Jerusalem. And you know, I'm saying this so that we realize that God has a plan. You know, as you look at it with your natural eyes, you say, what a mess things are in the Middle East. What darkness is covering the earth. You know, what immorality, what wickedness, what corruption in so many countries. But oh, praise God. You know, the prophet Zechariah gives us hope. And all things will be changed. What God did in the past, he defended Jerusalem in times of Hezekiah. He'll do so again in his last coming. God has a plan and a purpose. And you see, we understand it from the prophets. We understand it from the Bible. This book was given to us by God. No man could possibly have written this book. It's written over a period of about 1,400 years or more. And this book, you see, this book is God's book to us. It says that the witness and testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This book is filled with prophecy. We've seen that some of the prophecies of Zechariah have already been fulfilled, particularly about Jesus, that he himself was sold for 30 pieces of silver. You know, Zechariah mentions that. And we see it in the Gospels. Does that not give you confidence in the Bible? To believe what you read is truth from God's word. That it is God's word. No man could have prophesied that Jesus would be sold for 30 pieces of silver some 400 odd years before he was born, or a little bit more than that, about 500 years before he was born. Can anyone prophesy his hands would be pierced? Can anybody prophesy that he would be on the foal of the colt of a donkey and ride into Jerusalem and receive the acclaim of the people there? Who could prophesy that? No man could prophesy that. No, it has to be the word of God. And Zechariah, you see, is telling us wonderful things. He is indeed, when he proclaims that Jerusalem will be glorious indeed again, he is also telling us that the church will be glorious too before the second coming. He also prophesies the last siege of Jerusalem. And then he goes beyond that into the millennial reign, where he declares that the feast that will be celebrated in the millennial reign will be the Feast of Tabernacles for us. The celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles will be a latter-day outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will bring the church to glory and to maturity. But Zechariah, being a Jew, also prophesies concerning his own people. That his own people will once again, when the Lord returns, they will occupy the land of promise, and it will be a land of glory. And the principal feast that they will celebrate in the millennial reign will be the Feast of Tabernacles. And then he goes on to say, you know, while Satan will be bound during that time and all his cohorts, you know, there will be yet man with his sinful nature in the millennial reign, and he will rebel. And it says, principally, the land of Egypt, you know, will rebel and won't come up to worship the Lord in the Feast of Tabernacles. And here is a judgment that will come upon the land of Egypt in the millennial reign when they do not come up before the Feast of Tabernacles. No rain. They will have no rain. All this Zechariah prophesies. And then he prophesies, you know, that which is something that we should cherish and something we should embrace. He said, and there shall be holiness unto the Lord. holiness unto the Lord. That is how he concludes his prophecy, by saying there shall be holiness unto the Lord. Well, yes, holiness in the days when the Lord reigns triumphantly in the city of Jerusalem, in his temple for 1,000 years. But yes, remembering that we are the spiritual Jerusalem, the church of the living God, that as Jerusalem will be holiness in the days of the millennial reign of Christ, before he comes, before the end of the church age, then the church is going to be holiness unto the Lord. And beloved, let us be encouraged by the word of God. And let us remember that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And that we go through trials in order to make us partakers of his holiness. For he is coming for a church that is all pure within, a holy church, a church without spot or wrinkle. So let us cry out for the latter rain that will bring us to that maturity and that holiness, so that we will be ready to meet the Lord when he comes. And in so doing, we will receive from him those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." May that be your, shall I say, reward from the Lord. And it will be as you read the Bible every day, pray every day, and go to church. God bless you.